Sports Garden Duluth. Chad Greenway, ladies and gentlemen, on the stage with us now.
There you go. There's a response for you.
Oh, yeah.
One more year. One more year.
That's awesome.
There you go.
How about that? High five, main man. What's up? Hey, and you know what? Because the stories are so good, the history is so legit, how about another raucous round of applause for Bud Grant joining us here, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, that's standing ovation worthy, these stories he's sharing today. We'll get to Chad and chat with him momentarily. He's going to join the conversation with Wobby and yours truly and Bud Grant. But first, the golden football and the tie to high schools. I know this is something very important to you. Tell us more.
Well, NFL's got so much money nowadays that they're trying to distribute it. So what they've come up with they call a Golden Football Award, and what it is, everybody that's ever played in a Super Bowl gets a Golden Football, regardless of how many years it was ago. So they're going to present me with the Golden Football, which will be in the trophy case of Superior High School, along with a great Viking, Doug Sutherland, from Superior, who played for the Vikings for many, many years.
That's great.
So he's going to be getting the gold football, too. In addition to that, there's a monetary reward that goes to the high school. Every player that ever played in a Super Bowl game gets a golden football awarded to his high school any place across the country. Bill Brown just had one in Illinois the other night. They presented it to him. And that was a great tribute to him also.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just another great honor. Somebody has asked me to ask you about original Vikings owner Ole Hogsrud.
You got it.
And if you could share a story about Ole Hogsrud, who...
Ole Hogsrud is
Duluth Eskimos?
From Duluth. Incidentally, my dad played for the Duluth Eskimos in 1926. Duluth Eskimos. Ole Hogsrud was the owner, manager. He knew George Halas.
Yeah.
That's how Ole Hogsrud got part of the Vikings, because George Halas said, I will not vote for a franchise for the Vikings unless Ole Hogsrud gets a percentage.
Yeah.
Ole Hogsrud got 10% of the Vikings at that time.
Wow.
Which wasn't much then, but when he sold it, it was worth something.
Yeah.
But Ole Hogsrud was from Duluth, a great a friend of Duluth and the Twin Ports, and was a owner of the Vikings, and I got to know Ole fairly well. Ole was my dad's age, and great credit to Duluth.
What do you think of Duluth, Chad?
I love it. This is the second time. we're getting a little zip in here now.
One more year.
Where's Rick when you need him?
Why just one?
Where's Rick?
How about one more decade?
Is Spielman here yet?
I mean, Bud Grant coached guys who played 20 years. Why not you?
I would like to play at least one more year. The new stadium's open up. How excited are we about that, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could say our team's pointed in the right direction, I guess, right? Right?
How about that?
I'm obviously excited. Duluth. This is only my second time up here, unfortunately, and I called my wife as I was driving and said, we have to get up here. This place is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
Try us in the summer.
We're not going to come in the winter.
No, come in
the
summer.
I won't bring him up in the winter. We'll come up in the summer. It'll be much better.
But this guy, Chad Greenway, I mean, as many football players as you've coached or you've seen, you have an office at Winter Park, you're there quite frequently, you know, you come across a certain brand of player that I describe as the genuine article, and that's him. Don't you agree?
No.
No.
You think it's all overrated?
I was going to say, no way.
No, you're sure. You make a great point, and the linebackers are so important to a football team. We can go back in history, and he falls in that category of the great linebackers that we had here. And he got what I mentioned earlier. He got the durability to play every down, and had the heart to play. And that's where your defense begins, right with this guy right here.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Chad, when you were drafted in 06, what do you remember about coming in your first year and then, your entire career and then getting to know Bud Grant? Because, I mean, you're a five-state area member. I mean, you grew up in South Dakota, you went to Iowa, you played pro in Minnesota. So Bud Grant was someone for you that you knew about already, but
absolutely.
Then you really got to know Coach Grant once.
Not really. No, yeah. I never went to practice.
Yeah. No, no. He just hunts all day. That's all he does. No, I obviously growing up in South Dakota, followed the Vikings as a kid, and you know about the lore of the Purple People Eaters, and I think the way to really identify with that era of Vikings football was with Coach Grant and how he used the old Matt Stadium to our advantage in the cold weather of Minnesota, which, you know, you get to playoff time, you get to the December, January football, that's when the money's made, right? That's when you get to the Super Bowls, that's when, you know, all these great things happen to the Vikings then. You know, and since we've opened the Metrodome, we've been to how many Super Bowls?
Zero.
Zero. So, you know, Coach Grant was able to harness that, get us to five Super Bowls, four Super Bowls.
Yep, four.
Four Super Bowls. And, you know, it's just
2009
amazing.
2009 felt like the Super Bowl.
It did feel like the Super Bowl. but, you know,
short.
I think with his approach, we were able to watch a video that NFL Films had put together a few years ago as a team, just explaining how Coach Grant was using the cold weather and the psychology of that for the Vikings, and just made it such an advantage that, you know, they had an incredible home record.
Hey, Bud, that playoff game this year against Seattle, when you went out for the coin toss with the short sleeves, how cold was it?
I was standing right beside him, so I'll tell you if he's lying or not.
Well, I didn't know how cold it was. It's time to play football.
Yeah, right.
You don't worry about the cold weather.
Yeah,
I can tell you I was a captain for that game and standing right beside a coach as we were walking out. And when I looked over, you know, right before we get to walk, I look over and see him without the sleeves on. It was just like it couldn't have been scripted better, right. And it just couldn't have had a more perfect guy to be at the coin toss for us.
Well, it's our last outdoor game, so we had to, you know, memorialize it somehow.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer seems like your kind of coach. Am I right?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you, sir.
Absolutely. I think Zim is on the right page. He's no-nonsense guy. He knows what he wants in a player, and Chad can get into this more than I can, but you can just see from the demeanor of the team that it's his influence is on the team. And his attention to the defense, I think, is going to put us in good stead. I hope you get another year with that guy.
I hope so. I do, too.
One more year!
See what you did, Coach.
One more year! One more year!
Thank you. I feel like it could be louder, though. I see some people in the back not
it's
chanting.
It's never good enough, Chad. Come on, man.
See, we had general manager Rick Spielman on in the second segment of the show.
Okay.
Because if he was on after you and he caught wind of the one more year, there'd be five techs before he comes right. on.
Are we going to get Nordo to sing today?
Enough of the we certainly could do that.
Yeah, we got to put him on the spot, maybe.
Too, ma'am. We like to make it special for you. But off what he was saying about Mike Zimmer, you know, we've chatted about it before, but for those who may have missed it, doesn't Mike Zimmer seem like a new age Bud Grant?
I just think he exemplifies Vikings fans, the state of Minnesota. I think his approach, his demeanor, the way he handles press conferences, his no-nonsense, it's like, you know, he's sort of a breath of fresh air because, you know, I came with Coach Childress, who was just the cliche master. Then you had Coach Fraser, who was sort of, you know, not as intense probably as Coach Zimmer. And then you get Coach Zim, who's just in your face, and you always know where you stand, good and bad. And I think, you know, his approach and his attention to detail has all of our attentions. Whether you're 32 years old or you're 22 years old, he's going to have you playing your best football every week. He's going to continue to get you better no matter where you're at in your career.
Yeah.
And he's not going to put up with, you know, the prima donnas, the guys are going to come in and say they don't want to work. He's going to deal with them. You know, you're going to get on board with what he's doing or you're not. And I think that approach, you know, obviously we hope to lead to a bunch of success around here. And I think, you know, obviously we're all excited for what he's done in a short time. But, you know, he's got to continue to get the type of players he wants in here.
Did your relationship with Coach Zimmer change over time, or day one was it the same then as it is now?
Well, I think it's pretty much the same. I mean, obviously you got to get coached by somebody to know exactly what they're about. It's one thing to sit in front of him and talk to him, but to be on the field and kind of learn his approach and what he expects, and you know, his expectations are very high for your knowledge of the defense, for your alignments, for your assignments. And you know, he's the kind of coach, I've said this before, he'll be 100 yards away, two fields over, and he'll be screaming at you to be lined up 6 inches wider. Hmm. You know, it's that attention to detail that's going to put us in better position to win. And you can see by the improvement in our defense that we're heading the right direction, but we still have some ways to go.
Do you think that, I mean, because he talks about alignments all the time, like even in his press conferences, he'll reference that as an example of the details you have to pay attention to as a player.
Right.
Do you think that catches young players who come into the league off guard a little bit?
I think so. I mean, you come from systems all across the country in college that a lot of times you can get by on talent and speed and just ability. And now you have to really rely on your ability to line and be correct, because if you that 6 inches is going to maybe make you miss the tackle or make the tackle, you know, keep leverage or not keep leverage. I mean, those are big plays in games, just to limit yardage, to limit first downs, get your offense back on the field. I mean, it's so critical in our league, and he does a great job of kind of not only coaching in training camp, but it's an all year thing. I mean, the last practice before our playoff game, he's having the same approach as day one of training camp, and I think that consistency shows in our team.
Do you remember the last practice of training camp last year?
I hope not. Is that the one we made us run? Is that when he made us run around the pylon?
Well, all I know is it ended early.
Yeah. Oh, the end early. Yeah. Now if you're going to give him crap for product, he said you might as well go inside. He just couldn't be more upset with how we were practicing. Really, throughout training camp, we had done a great job of practicing hard, practicing well, pretty clean, efficient, and then to bring that crap out, it's just the expectation wasn't there, and we didn't rise up to it as players. And I don't care if you're in training camp or, like I said, the last practice of the year. Or a game, you have to bring that same approach.
You know, but it's brilliant, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that last training camp at Mankato, this most recent training camp, he ended it early, like 45 minutes early.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I'm doing the radio show, and I'm thinking, oh, everything must be going so beautifully. Yeah, we're right. Miles ahead of schedule. He's going to reward them. And then I sat down with him to tape an interview after, and it was as frustrated as I've seen him. And I think maybe he shared this publicly, but if not, there were two times up to that Niners game that he would say, these guys are not as good as they think they are right now.
Right.
And he was kind of concerned with what was around the corner, and it was the Niners that were around the corner.
Right.
And at least mentally, it wasn't as good as you thought it was, but maybe that was an eye-opening experience that made it a little better.
Yeah, I mean, we can excuse the San Francisco game all we want about for whatever reason, but the reality is in the NFL, you got to show up every night, and we just simply didn't do it. And I think that was probably the best thing we could have done or could have happened to us, really, because you just get to get smacked in the face like we did and to realize, like, hold on, we have a lot of work to do, and then to come back the next week and have a better approach. So, that was eye-opening for us as players as well.
Hey, you were lucky. You only had training camp for about how many days?
Yeah, we had 21 days this year.
Yeah. We used to go play 6 preseason games.
Oh.
And we went to Mankato. That was purgatory.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
For 6 weeks.
We've done, the longest stretch we've done was like 23 days in my career.
Yeah.
And I did catch the first 4 years of my career where we could do two-a-days. Now we can't even do two-a-days.
No, that's right.
So, I look as an old-timer now to these young guys saying, you guys have it so easy, but I can't even imagine, back in the day going for 6 weeks. And I can't stay in Mankato for more than a month. I mean, there's just no way. Sorry. It's just the way it is.
But he loves Duluth.
But I love Duluth.
Yeah.
I love Duluth.
Mankato's listening right now going, no more years! No more years!
Oh, no. I love the month over there, though.
Hey, Bud, with the two-a-days and the elongated training camp and stuff like that, how do you think it plays into the game as it is now? When it comes to getting these rookies and trying to get them good as quickly as you can, but you have to be so hands-off for so long.
You're not going to win with rookies. You're going to win with guys like Chad and the veteran players. The rookies got to weed themselves in there. But, training camp is it's hard. And what they've done is saved your career probably by reducing the amount of wear and tear training camp.
Absolutely.
There's no need for it. I would say that we got 4 preseason games. I would suggest you go down to 2. Because now these guys are staying in good shape, but they're ready to play in a couple of weeks. So if you got down to 2 preseason games, up your salary for a couple more game salaries. and put them on a regular schedule rather than play 2. Just be in training camp for two preseason games, and that would be it, I think.
Yeah. Bud Grant, Chad Greenway, Sports Garden Duluth, Paul Allen, and Wobby.
So then would you, Coach Grant, would you go 2 more regular season games?
That's
then?
Right.
You play 18?
Put them on the regular season. Everybody makes more money. Everybody's happier. And I think that would be a good thing to do because football's at its level right now. You can't get enough football.
Yeah, right? But I don't get into the habit of arguing with Hall of Famers. But the bodies at the ends of these seasons at 16 games are already so broken down. Now you want to add 2.
No, they're not. Yeah, no, they're not. I didn't see Denver being broken down before. No, I don't think that's the point at all. If you want to increase the roster, then
yeah,
you have a couple, maybe four or five more players. There's a way to work it out. The money's there.
Yeah.
Believe me, the money's there.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget to come to the Golden Football thing in Superior next.
And May 18th, the garage sale.
And the garage sale. Yeah, always come to that also. But we're next week, Doug Sutherland and I are going to get Golden Footballs in Superior.
That's awesome.
Well, public is welcome.
That's great.
You know, going back to your suggestion, Coach, I mean, you've seen the league change a bunch of different ways. I mean, there used to be 14 regular season games, right? And they went, they went to 16.
When I played, there was only 12.
Okay, so there used to be 12.
So moved up. So
it used to be two conferences, three divisions.
Yeah, now you guys had it easy.
Four divisions. Now, there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah, and it's all been good. You know, they've proven it's been good. I mean, we played 12 games when I started to play in the NFL. And, they moved it up, and everything's gotten better. Players got more money. Fans bought it into it. Everything's there.
All right.
Keep moving.
What if you added another playoff team, so there were seven playoff teams, and only one team got a first-round bye? Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the playoff system is good now.
Okay.
Which you coach so many Hall of Famers, Bud. Which player you used to coach who's not in the Hall of Fame bugs you most?
Ooh. You know the answer to that.
I do.
Yeah. Well,
Jim Marshall.
Who'd he ask, you or me?
Sorry.
He asked you.
Holy cow. That's taken deep by HOF.
I'm going to go on a two-minute timeout right now. Got 2 minutes.
Let me just say this.
Please do.
As a coach, you're beholden to the players. I mean, you're only as good as the players are, so you're beholden. There's no best player. There's special players.
Yeah.
The special player we got that hadn't been in the Hall of Fame, Jim Marshall, as he said.
Yeah.
He is a special man. Not a player. Played 19 years, never missed a game, never missed a practice. He had the durability and the heart to play football for that long, and he was the leader of our team. He was a captain the whole time. If I said jump off the building, he'd jump off. Everybody go behind, right, go with him. I mean, he was a great leader and an absolutely wonderful player, a great man, and he's not in the Hall of Fame, and that's an injustice that we're going to keep working on.
Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
A little bit of politics. I mean, almost every team's got a Jim Marshall of some shape, form, or something that they're all trying to promote. You know, players. It's a great honor to be in the Hall of Fame. That's not something you just, fall. You know, not everybody's there. So there's a lot of politics that go into it. We worked hard to get Mick Tinglehoff in this year, and I was really happy to get him in there. Now, if we can get Alan Page, and then I could die happy.
And Greg Coleman.
Jim.
Oh, yeah, Greg Coleman.
Well, Ray Guy's in, so Coleman has to be next, right?
Well, we got to talk about that.
All right, a couple of quickies to close here with Bud Grant, Hall of Fame, former coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Once again, the Golden Football Ceremony with Doug Sutherland and Bud takes place in the Duluth Superior area.
In Superior. At the high school. It's a clinic involved. My son Mike is on the clinic.
Excellent.
And so it's a great clinic, and the public is invited.
And Bud's garage sale in Eden Prairie is May 18th, right?
You got it.
That's May 18th. All right. How about each of us present something for Bud in closing? Chad, you go first.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to be the co-host of 9
I want to be the co-host of 9
for 19 grand a year and a Continental Diamond endorsement. You got to be able to make a play.
I can say this. How do you think, as time has gone on from when you came in the NFL as a player, how have the guys changed? So, we have the prima donna receivers, some DBs. Yeah. Did you have that same mentality of players then that you have now? Or was across the board it just a tougher league? Because I truly believe that the guys that played 30, 40 years ago are just tougher than we are.
Well,
and
I don't
is it the same way across the board?
I don't know that physically they're tougher. They're mentally had a different approach because most of us had to have a job outside of football. We couldn't live on what we made in football for very long, at very high level. So we all had outside jobs, appreciated the fact that we could play football, and camaraderie was good, but the players weren't as good as they are today.
Right.
And we had a lot of these big fat linemen that couldn't play today at all, but they played then.
Right.
And the game has gotten faster and better, and the equipment's better. Even the footballs are inflated at a standard level now, where before we used to be able to adjust the air. And, you know, so it's a better game now. There's no question about it, and you're the benefactor.
All right.
Yes.
Wobby? Coaching staffs. When you were a head coach, you had much smaller coaching staff than they have now. So do you think it's better that they have more coaches, or do you think it was better the way you had it?
Nothing's ever better, but I got to talk to Zim, because Zim and I were going to go hunting, and we're going to go down to Texas in March, hunting turkeys. And so anyway, I got to bring that up to him. But he got 22 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't administer 22 coaches.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they do that now, but they do, and everybody's doing it, and the money's there, so they can do it. And the football's better, and they do a better job. Like he said, every details, we probably miss some details with our staff. The most I ever had was seven assistants.
Wow.
So somehow we got through it.
My question, the last one, is for you to share a story or a memory of Fred Zamberletti, who's been around the team. I mean, he's been around the team as long as anybody. And, you know, Fred's one of my, in my 14 years working with the team, he's by far one of my favorite guys within the team. He's a former trainer. He worked extensively with you. Fred Zamberletti, let's close with him.
Well, for people who don't know, he was one of the original Vikings. He was up in Bemidji when they had the training camp up there. He came from Iowa, from the coal mines of Iowa. You know where that
Hell
is.
Yeah.
And he's a full, you know, a trainer. But, you know, you can't have a good team without a good trainer. Now, the trainer's got – he hears their story. He hears my story. But he has to have the confidentiality of never repeating what Chad said to him to me.
Yeah.
He had, you know, I talked to Fred about a player. He never relayed that to the player. So you've got that kind of a relationship. In addition to that, he was a very, he knew if you were hurt or you weren't hurt. He knew the players who could play with injuries, who couldn't play with injuries. He knew the players you had to baby a little bit and the ones that you just had to drive a little bit. He was great at bringing players back from an injury. He knew what to do, not too much, not too little. But he also was a sounding board for players in the training room. That's a place where you really get all the crap, see, and he got it all.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'd never written a book. He could write a lot of books.
Not sure.
You know, and he's got a warehouse of memories and good relationships. Jim Marshall just stopped in the other day. And he and Fred they hugged for 5 minutes. You know, that kind of relationship was built up. Fred Zamberletti is still with the Vikings as a consultant,
yep.
As I am, you know, a non-paid position, by the way. And
but we have the garage sale May 18th.
Oh, that's why I have to have garage sale. Chad will never need a garage sale.
Yeah. Hey, if you have time or if you have it in your heart, out of your seats, on your feet, please, Bud Grant. Hall of Fame, former coach for the Minnesota Vikings.
Chad Greenway.
At the Sports Garden in Duluth, sharing some of the greatest stories you'll ever hear. Thank you for that. You're very nice. Chad Greenway sticks around. We chat some football into the final hour. Paul Allen, Duluth, 9 to noon.